CBSI in the world. I'm John Batchelor. From the surface of the planet Earth, we're going to the surface of the moon. Researchers at the University of Florida have spent 11 years requesting permission from NASA to borrow some of the lunar dust brought back by the astronauts Apollo 11 and Apollo 12 in 69 and 17, Apollo 17 in 72. For what, Bob? What do they want to do? Make bracelets?
No, what these scientists have been trying to get NASA to allow them to do now for, what is it, more than a decade, is to take the lunar dust and dirt from the surface of the moon that the astronauts brought back and to see if they could grow plants in it. It's an important thing. If you're going to build a base on the moon, you want to be able to see if the soil can be used to grow plants. And, you know, this is soil that has no organic material, so there's real mystery. Can it really grow plants in it? You know, you'd add fertilizer and organic material to the soil, but still, could it grow? Could plants grow in it? And so they did a test. They were given 12 grams. This is a really tiny amount of material, a few teaspoons first, a teaspoons full of soil, and then they did an experiment to see if a specific kind of plant, an Arab dapperis, I'm not pronouncing that right, could grow. And it successfully grew. They moistened the soil with water and they gave it some nutrients and they added seeds of the Rapidapsis thallinia plant. And it did grow. They grew smaller, and it took longer for them to grow than plants on the most extreme environments on Earth. They also found that the plants did better from buried lunar soil than the material that had been on the surface exposed to the harsh radiation of space. But either way, they did show that you could grow plants if you did provide them nutrients, fertilizer, and so forth. You can grow plants within the soil of the moon. I just find it really disgusting that NASA took 11 years to give them permission to do this. This soil was not brought back to be kept in a vault. It was brought back to do these kind of experiments, and this is one of the most fundamental ones you should be doing. And they should have been able to do this four decades ago, and they should have been able to get more than just a few teaspoons of material to do it, John.
Have we got a sample of soil from Mars? Does it exist?
No, we don't. There's no samples been brought back from Mars. Perseverance is caching samples that they hope to bring back with a later mission. And, of course, Starship, if it gets to Mars, will be able to bring back lots more samples. But no, we're nowhere near getting samples from Mars.
Russian astronauts are giving us information about the effects of long space flight time. And what does it mean for the brain? Are there conclusions, Bob?
Yeah, this is an interesting study, John. Both the Russians and Americans now and the Europeans have for many years now done long-term studies on space stations. The Russians were way ahead on this. They were doing year-long missions back on Mir, what is it now, 3 decades ago. A more recent study was able to gather information from 24 American astronauts, 13 Russians, and a few European astronauts, where they did scans of the astronauts' brains before and after they spent 6 months on ISS. And what they found is that the experience of weightlessness produces brain changes. It produces basically the brain swells up in space, and takes time to recover when it gets back to Earth. But what the study's biggest takeaway was that the Russians experienced fewer problems. And that's because the Russians have different protocols for returning back to Earth. When you're in space, you do a lot of exercise, extra exercise before you come back. But the Russians do two things differently. One, they have a piece of equipment they developed 30 years ago called a lower body negative pressure suit. What it basically does is they put it around there. It's like a pair of pants you put on, and it sucks the fluid that has moved from the legs up to the upper body and weightlessness. It sucks it back down to the legs, simulating partly what it's like to be back on Earth. And they do this for the last few weeks before they return to Earth. And the second thing they do is when they do their exercises, they don't do as much mass weight. They don't push with as much heavy weight. And it appears that both of these extra tactics work to prevent some of the swelling that the American astronauts experienced, John.
Curiosity. When last we worried about Curiosity, it was facing a tactical decision. How's it doing?
Well, we still don't know what the decision will be, but I posted a great panorama, and I just posted, in fact, a few shortly, a close-up from that panorama of the really weird terrain that Curiosity is traveling against. They haven't decided yet exactly how they're going to get back to their original route yet, John, but no matter how they go, they're going to see some really amazing things. That's what I can say.
Bob, about Curiosity and the pathway ahead for Curiosity, the last time we talked, we worried, this is the older rover, we worried about its wheels in that rocky terrain. Have they got a protocol that can give it, can give us positives that they can climb this mountain given those rocks that they're going through?
One of the reasons they're on a different route is because they needed to get away from really rough terrain. So the terrain they're going on is rough, but not as rough as before. And they have developed software to try to protect the wheels, and they move slowly because of that. Nonetheless, the wheels are a problem down the long run, John.
And they've got six of them. So theoretically, they can prepare themselves for losing one wheel. Is that correct, Bob?
Correct. That is correct.
Bob Zimmerman, he keeps the website Beyond the Black. I'm John Batch.
You're listening to CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor.